Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. One verse of scripture we'll be looking at, but I'll be using quite a few other verses. You ever wondered why you're here? Not just in this place, but why you're here on earth? The psychologist William Moulton Marston asked 3,000 people, "What do you have to live for?" He was shocked to find that 94% were simply enduring the present while they waited for the future, waited for something to happen, waited for children to grow up and leave home, waited for next year, waited for another time to take a long dreamed about trip, waited for someone to die, waited for tomorrow without realizing that all anyone ever has is today, because yesterday is gone and tomorrow never comes. As Shakespeare's drama Macbeth draws near its close, the central figure is shown in his castle at Dunsinane, surrounded by a few of his officers and soldiers. Macbeth has run his bloodstained course to power, but his sins are catching up with him. He is besieged in his castle. Word is brought to him that Lady Macbeth, who nerved him to his crimes, is dead. Then Macbeth breaks forth into these words: "Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Doesn't sound like much to live for, does it? But that's the way a lot of people are today. What am I here for? What on earth am I here for? Listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say. One powerful verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2:10. We're familiar with it. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Why don't you say it with me one time? It's on the screen. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which the Lord, that we should walk in them." One of the greatest problems, I believe, in the church today is that there are so few Christians who, so many Christians who really don't know who they are. So they let the world tell them who they are. "You're just a product of evolution. You're just a bunch of corporeal stuff. You're no more than any other animal." That's what the world tries to tell us. But for those who are separated, dedicated, devoted, Christ-like followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to remind you that you are a child of God. You are a saint. You're sanctified. You're secure. You are holy. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. That's who you are. But a lot of Christians are not acting like they should, because they have forgotten who they are if they ever realized it in the first place. So this morning, I want us to look at life's three greatest questions. First question is this, the question of existence. Why am I here? You ever thought about that? Why are you here? Why am I alive? The question of significance. Does life really matter? The third question, the question of intention. What is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? Let's look first of all at the question of existence. Why am I alive? Well, some of you don't look real alive this morning. You know, I don't know if it's because you worked so hard yesterday or what. But we need to act like we're alive when we're in God's house, of all places. That we have some spiritual life. That we appreciate the fact that God has given us breath, that we're alive. It's not a new question. It was asked thousands of years ago. Jeremiah asked it in Jeremiah 20:18. He said this, "Why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow, to end my life in disgrace?" All of us have had times when we felt that way. Was I born to just have a bunch of problems? Was I put on earth just to have heartache and grief and stress? Author Ashley Brilliant said this, "My life is a superb cast, but I can't figure out the plot." Jack Hanley wrote this, "I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it." Carl Jung, the famous psychiatrist, said this, "I don't know the meaning, the purpose of life, but it looks as if something was meant by it." Isaac Asimov wrote this, "As far as I can see, there is no purpose." Joseph Taylor wrote a book, long title, "I have no answers to the meaning of life, and I no longer want to search for any." Not a good philosopher for life, is it? I hope you're not there. These are tragic statements because the life without purpose isn't a life worth living. It's no coincidence that the suicide rate in our society has gone up. It is now one of the biggest, largest killers of our teenagers. They're just despairing of life. Why? Look at what has been taught them. That they're just a bunch of corporeal stuff, that they just evolved from whatever down through the eons of time, and that God is not their creator. They just came about by accident. No wonder they are so distressed and stressed out. If you take God out of the equation, you don't really have very many alternatives, do you? People are trying various approaches to find meaning in life. Let's look at some of the things that people are trying. Some people are trying the mystical approach. Too many are trying this in our culture today. The mystical approach says, look within and find your purpose within. But if that really worked, all of us would know our purpose, wouldn't we? Oprah Winfrey had a show several years ago that was supposed to help you find your purpose in life. I didn't see it, but I heard about it. She never did tell you how to find purpose in life, but at the end, I think they showed it several times on television, at the end of the show, she kind of looked at the critics and says, "And remember, you got to figure it out by yourself." As far as I'm concerned, that was a wasted hour. Deepak Chopra, born in New Delhi, India, has a medical degree of some sort. I don't know exactly what it all it is. Some of it's psychology, I think, but some of it's medical. He was on the Larry King show. I did see him a time or two. He was involved and is involved still with the Transcendental Meditation movement and the New Age movement. He believes that a person can achieve perfect health, free from disease, free from pain, cannot age or die, and uses what he calls quantum healing to carry about all of this. It sounded so foolish that even evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins, who is an atheist, calls his approach to this kind of life hocus pocus. And I don't agree with Dawkins on a whole lot of stuff, but he's right about that. That's all it is, hocus pocus. But he's very prominent in our culture. See him quite frequently on television. Looking within is not the answer. There's more to life than taking a mystical approach to life. Then there are those who take the philosophical approach to life. There's the survivalist who says the purpose of life is just to stay alive. In other words, live as long as you can. Just get by. Do the best you can while you're here. Just get by. Just survive. Then there's the naturalist that says the purpose of life is to perpetuate itself. In other words, you're just here for biological reason. Rap artist Ice-T wrote this, "The only reason we're here is to reproduce. Just chill out and reproduce. Keep the species alive." That's real motivation, isn't it? For the day in which we live. The hedonist writes, "The purpose of life is pleasure. Have fun. Get all the gusto you can." Boy, we're living in a society that's doing just that, aren't we? And wonder why people are so frustrated and doing such crazy things about life. The materialist says life is all about the acquisition of things. Listen, they say your life is measured by the things you own. The problem with that is that he who dies with the most toys still dies. These are not very good answers to life, are they? There's a self-help approach that many people are using today. Self-help books are just legion. There are so many of them. And they all say the same thing. You've got to invent your purpose. You've got to create your own purpose in life. And they all give the same basic approach. Discover your dreams. Go after your goals. Have some ambitions. Dream big dreams. Aim high. Believe you can achieve. Have faith. Figure out what you're good at. Never give up. Involve other people. Now, all of this is good advice. And they will, if you do those things, make you a success in life. But listen, listen. Being a success in life and knowing your purpose in life are not the same thing. They're totally different. The purpose of life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your own happiness, your own peace of mind. Just listen, you were made by God, and you were made for God, and you were put here for His purposes. And until you and I understand that, life isn't going to make a whole lot of sense. Just never will. So why does God want us here? Why are we alive? Why are we on this planet? Is there a reason? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for His own purpose. Think about that. The Lord has made everything for His own purpose. We're here for His purposes. God has never made anything without a purpose. Every rock, every plant, every animal has a purpose. And if you're alive, you have a purpose. Now, sometimes I might question some of the things that He has here for a purpose, like sand gnats and mosquitoes and flies, but they are here for a purpose. And they're not very pleasant, but they're here for a purpose. One day we'll find out. Not just to torment us. Maybe that's the reason they are here, to get our attention sometimes. Make us thankful for when they're not around. But this morning, I just want us to see God's motive. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, what the Bible says there. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Then, listen to this. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. You hear what God said through the Apostle Paul? You and I are the focus of God's love. God made you and me in order to love us. He didn't need us, but He wanted us. And before we can talk about anything else, we have to understand this is what on earth we are here for, to be loved by Almighty God. Now think about that. Could anything be any more wonderful than that? To know that you and I are loved by Almighty God. We're so familiar with John 3:16, I'm afraid we just take it for granted. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? You and me. That He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're the object of God's love. We sometimes forget that. The question of existence. Why am I here? We're the object of God's love. God loves us, is why we're here. But there's a second question, the question of significance. Does my life matter? Isaiah 49:4 says, my work all seems so useless. I've spent my life, my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. Sounds like he's kind of discouraged about life, like we get sometimes, doesn't it? But listen, that's not all of the verse. I'll read it again. But I said, I have toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be His servant. Think about it. Jeremiah had his days. We're going to have our days. But as he looked at life, he realized he had a purpose to serve the Lord, be His servant. Folks, we are made for meaning. If you don't have a meaning and a purpose in your life, you don't know why God put you here on this planet in the first place, and life will not make any sense. You'll just struggle through life. During World War II, there was a Nazi concentration camp in Hungary, and what they did was process human sewage in a factory. The Allies bombed the factory and totally destroyed it. The prisoners had nothing to do, so the guards gave them a job. They told them, move the rubble from this factory over to this field. They did that. The next day, they moved that rubble from that field back to the original site. Day after day, they did the same thing. Day after day. And then something strange began to happen. The prisoners began to go crazy. They began to lose the will to live because there was no meaning, no purpose to their work. They were just moving bricks and rubble back and forth, back and forth. Many of them tried to get shot. Others tried to commit suicide. Listen. They understood what we need to understand today. Our lives were created to have meaning. I'm convinced that is why we're seeing so much carnage in our streets today. People have no sense of the significance of life and no meaning in life. The culture in which we're living in, that is promoting a welfare-type culture, is diminishing the importance of life and the significance of life of people. And we wonder why there's so much hostility and frustration and distress and suicide. People devoid of God and a relationship with Him have no hope and no meaning. See, we are going through life at three levels. There's a survival level. This is where most people live today, the survival mode, just barely getting by, just existing, but they're not living. They're controlled by their circumstances. They put in their time and live for the weekend. They're just in a survival mode. If I can just get by one more week, if I can make it just one more week, I'll start all over again. Then there's a success level. This is a step up from the survival level. It's a better way to live. This is where most folk are today. By the world's standards, we've got it made in this country. We have a comfortable living compared to the rest of the world, extremely wealthy. We have possessions, we have freedom, good health. Many have prestige and may be quite successful. But a vital question that is being asked in many books coming out today is, if I'm so successful, how come I don't feel fulfilled? The reason is it takes more than success. It takes more than status to satisfy us. We need to go to the third level of living. That's the significance level. How do you live at the significance level? You do so by applying three things to our lives and understanding three things. You know the meaning of life. You know that you were created by Almighty God, that He loves you. You are put here as His love object. This gives significance. Listen. I don't care what the world tries to tell you. You're a creation of Almighty God, and God don't make no junk, people. You're special in His sight. You're precious in His sight. You're loved by God. Secondly, you know how much you matter to God. This gives you significance. You know that He loved you so much that He was willing to give His own Son to take upon Himself your sins and my sins, because He wants us to have a relationship with Him forever. You know your purpose for your life, and you're living them out, and that gives you significance. If you want to know how much you matter to God, look at a couple of verses from the Bible. Isaiah 44:2 says this, "Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you." Listen, that confirms what I've been saying. You are a creation of Almighty God. God created you. Oh, I know you say, preacher, it's a biological process. It may be. Yes, it is. It should be a process of love. But only God can give life. We just participate in that process. Psalm 139. You see, that tells us, this Isaiah 44:2 tells us, God was caring for you even in His mind as He thought you up. Psalm 139:16 says, "You, talking about God, scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." That's how much you matter to Almighty God. He paid so much attention to your life that every detail was recorded in His book before you even took a breath. I can't figure all of this out. I don't understand all of that. But God is God. He's wisdom. He's wise. He knows everything about you and me. Isn't it amazing? He still loves us. He made you to love you, and the Bible says you matter. He sees everything in your life, the good, the bad, and everything in between. You do matter to Him. What does it all this mean, preacher? Why am I so confused about life? I've been trying to figure this thing called life out, but it's just so hard. Is God playing games with us? Is He intentionally trying to confuse us? Does He keep us in the dark so that we don't really know why we're here and what we're here for and what our meaning is. Is that His plan? Absolutely not. God wants you to know how much you matter to Him. He wants you to know the meaning of life. He wants you to know His purposes. God has extremely long-range plans for you. Listen to Psalm 33:11. His plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. You see, there is in our lives, as His creation, there is the eternal factor. Eternal factor. You and I were made to last forever because God's purposes are eternal. They are for the rest of your life, forever and ever and ever. And He wants us to spend those days with Him. When we talk about the things God put you on earth for, He wants you to practice down here what you're going to do forever and ever in eternity. This is just a kindergarten. This is just a grade school. And you should go on to middle school and high school and postgraduate work and serving Almighty God, doing all you can down here, because what you're doing is simply being prepared for what you're going to do for all eternity. We have a plan, and He has a plan and purposes for our lives. This is just a warm-up down here. And our lives don't end at death. Your heart's going to stop. Your body's going to decay. But that's not the end of you. You are more than a body. You are made to last forever. And the Bible says His purposes last eternally in Psalm 33:11. We need to realize that we're going to spend far more time on the other side of death than we do on this side. Think about it, folks. This side down here is barely a drop in the ocean. We were made for eternity. And life down here is preparation for eternity. God's purposes for you and me are eternal. They are forever. This is the key to the meaning of life. Realizing that life is preparation for eternity. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:1. When this tent we live in, our body here on earth, is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home He Himself has made, which will last forever. I thought I'd get at least one amen to that. Do you realize that? This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Think about what we sang this morning. One of these mornings, we're going to fly away. We're going to leave this world. Trumpet's going to sound. Dead in Christ is going to rise first. And those of which are alive and remain are going to be changed. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with Him. What a future we have. God loves you so much, and you matter so much to Him. He wants to keep you with Him for the rest of eternity. He wants to keep us with Him forever. That gives life meaning. Proverbs 9:6 challenges us then. Leave your impoverished confusion and live and walk up the street to a life with meaning. There's a question of existence. Why am I alive? Why? Because God says, I made you to love you. That's why you're alive. There's a question of significance. Does life matter? God says yes. So much that I intend on keeping you alive for eternity. You're going to be around for a long, long time. You'll be with Him forever if you're a Christian. But then there's the third question. The question of intention. What is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? In Psalm 89:7, David asked the question, why did you create me? For nothing? He was talking to God. Englishman Bertrand Russell, probably the greatest atheist philosopher of the last, in the 19th century, said this, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. Russell was right. There's no God. You're just a freak. You're just a chance of nature. You've evolved from pond scum. Then guess what? Your life really doesn't matter. Somebody wants to take it, they could, because there's no real reason, there's no ring of meaning, there's no purpose for you in being here. But there's a God, and He made you for a reason. He made you for a purpose. There are two steps in getting to know your purpose. Very simple. The first is by looking to Him. If you don't know something's purpose, likely to be abused. Got this little device in my pocket. They call it a fob. I'm sure most of you know what it's for. It's got all kind of little buttons on it. But it has to be used the right way. Push a button. If I was close enough to the car, the horn would be blowing. Lights are probably blinking now. That's what this is. Or I could punch another button. I don't know if a chance doing this or not. Punch that button twice. If you look out the door, you'd see the trunk of my car raising up. That's kind of irresponsible, isn't it? I'm going to punch it again and close it. What am I saying? Everything has a purpose, even this little device. But how do I know to discover the proper use of this without abusing it and getting in trouble with it? I have to read the manual, don't I? That's why it's given to us. Listen, we have life given to us by God, but if we're going to discover the purpose for life, we need to read the manual. We need to read God's Word to get to know about Him. By looking to Him for guidance and direction. The only way you're going to ever know your purpose in life is not by listening to philosophers and guessing, not by looking within, going to self-help books because they're just saying, create your own purpose. We have to talk to the Creator and look in the owner's manual. It's the only way you'll ever know your purpose in life. You go to the Bible and you start with the right verse. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. It's a realization. He is the source of all things, of all creation, and of life itself. If those words hadn't been there, we wouldn't be discussing the meaning of life or the purpose in life. It all starts with Him, and it continues with God, and it ends with God. Proverbs 9:10 says, knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. But there's a second approach to knowing our purpose. The first is by looking to Him. The second is I find my purpose by getting to know God. Colossians 1:16 says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose at Him. And the next verse says this, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. You want to know your purpose in life? Start getting to know God. The more you get to know God, the more you're going to understand the meaning and purpose of life. And the more you're going to understand everything else, because the Bible says knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. By the way, it's going to take some time. This is not a sprint down here. We're on a journey. And by eternal standards, it's very short. But by human standards, it can be very long. Sometimes it's a long process. Think about Noah. His life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses' life and the children of Israel's life was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. Jesus' life was transformed by 40 days in the wilderness. The disciples' lives were finally transformed by 40 days with Jesus after the resurrection. What am I saying? It takes time. It's not an instant process. You got to spend time with Him. That occurs on a day-by-day basis. Spending time with the Lord, getting to know Him. I realize that all of us are at different stages in our spiritual journey. That doesn't matter. We're in this journey together, no matter what stage we're in. Some of you are still seekers, saying, I'm not even sure about this, but I'm intellectually honest enough to check it out. I hope you are. I hope you'll check it out if you haven't done so. It's great. Glad to have you on the journey. Others, if you're a new believer, I'm excited for you. But start off right. Go to the Lord God. Study His manual of life. If you don't know where you are, then there are those who are stumblers. If you're stumbling through life, it's time for you to come home to Him. Others are strong believers. Listen to me. You haven't arrived yet. The Apostle Paul could say, I'm the least of all the saints, and He's still working. to achieve, to get to know more about God, so do we need to do the same thing. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, listen to this verse. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door is open. Acts 10:35. The door is open. George Herbert once said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. It's not too late. But you have to have a beginning. You have to start with Him. That's where you begin. Where is your relationship to the Lord? Do you know that you know Him? If you don't, then you need to settle that question today. There's a question you need to settle, three of them. What on earth am I here for? Why am I alive? Does my life really matter? What is my purpose? If you don't answer those properly, you're going to go through life unfulfilled and frustrated instead of satisfied, even in the difficult days, and filled and thrilled with the purpose of God. God has a plan and a purpose for every life. It begins because He loves you. The question is, have you responded to His love? You're here because He loves you. Have you accepted that love by accepting His Son, Jesus Christ? If not, why not today? If you're here and you've already done that and you're struggling in life's journey, why don't you come and say, Lord, that's been kind of stumbling along. I realize that you have a special plan and a purpose for my life. And you might be walking through a dark, deep, dark valley right now, but God will walk with you through it. Why? Because He loves you. You just simply need to respond to His wonderful love. Jesus, keep me near the cross, page 233 is what we're going to be singing. If there's ever a time when we needed to be kept near the cross, is the days in which we are living. With a world that tells us we're just a bunch of evolutionary products and not a creation of God, don't believe that lie. Believe the truth of God's love as revealed in Jesus and come and respond to that love by saying, here, my Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. I want to be yours. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Would you come as we sing?
There's a precious fountain.